CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody, you sexy, beautiful people. You've got to be up, got to be ready, got to take on the day. It's Friday. You made it to another weekend. I know it's felt like two whole days. Oh, how are you going to handle this? Oh, it's so hard. Next week, we're going to do another four-day week, and then it's over. Then I'm afraid you've got to get used to those five-day weeks again. He says, actually, secretly, I'm quite thrilled that people have to get used to five-day weeks again. I feel like we've all been on a bit of a go slow, not just for these holidays, but for the last 2 years. So, you know, time to pick it up, time to get moving. I can tell that that fire is burning back in me. You wake up in the mornings, and if you're in a, and we all go through this, you're in a bit of a funk. You're not in a huge hurry to get going again, you know? You kind of find every excuse to take a little bit longer, to, I need another week to decide. Let's put this meeting off to next week. You get into that. Everybody does. I'm sick of that now. I'm ready. I'm ready for a full resumption of hostilities. And maybe it's just because I've had enough of the kind of malaise that's been settled over all of us for 2.5 years. It could also be that it feels like things are changing, hey? It feels like stuff is going on. It feels like if you don't get on the train now, you're going to be left behind. So I don't think I'm alone. If you're feeling the same way, let me know about it. I see lots of people in the messages this morning. Vyasin, Nungelo, Venetia, Cheryl, Tabor, Shani, they're all busy up and at 'em. Probably a lot of people are on holiday today. So, you know, if you're not, I mean, I understand. It did make sense to take a couple of days and get away. So if that's what you're doing, awesome stuff. So I didn't mention this, but this Johnny Depp trial, and we're waiting for Leanne. She'll be with us in a moment. This Johnny Depp trial is, I didn't realize how entertaining this thing was. Do you know, Amber Heard, I didn't pay attention because I don't watch TV. Oh, here's Leanne. Let me just get her in here. She needs to hear this. You all need to hear this. This is fantastic. Hey, ass, what's up?
Hola.
Hola. I was just saying now, I feel...
Bonjo.
I feel like I haven't really been paying attention to the Johnny Depp Amber Heard circus, but man, I think we've missed... Oh. We have missed out.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you hear what... So she's shat in his bed, apparently.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. You see? Yeah.
I thought you would enter gently.
No, she didn't. I mean, so how does a relationship... I've never been in a relationship that went so badly so quickly that you ended up needing to...
Okay, so I have.
Please don't tell me this is something you can relate to. Please.
Completely.
No bullshit.
Completely and
no
utterly.
Bullshit. No ways. Come on.
No, 100%, Gareth.
Mm-mm.
This is 100%
shitting in someone's
something
bed
that I can relate to.
No, Leanne, not shitting in the bed. Mm-mm.
Worse.
Okay, go on. Now we got to hear it. I mean, you started this.
Well, I'm not going to bear all. I mean,
no.
We need to.
No,
you
whatever
trust me into
you
the
know,
deep end,
whatever
so.
You whatever you're comfortable with. Let me, while you think about whether you want to say what your story is, let me just tell you what happened.
Yeah.
So,
go on,
Amber Turd, as Greg calls her, apparently. So Johnny's busy telling in court how he reckons that the turd that he found in the bed was too big to be from one of the dogs because they've got Yorkshire Terriers. So this is how he knew it was her. And he says...
I mean, the Yorkshire Terriers is like, it's smaller than a...
Chipolata. It's little, you know? It's little.
Yeah.
So he says, Your Honor, I think she dropped a grumpy in my bed. That's how he calls it, a grumpy. So that was hilarious. And he talks about feces, and Gary's right. He was talking like he was an expert on feces. Well, it was kind of long in the middle, and then it was pinched on the ends.
But he's so articulate.
Yeah, no, he's good.
I mean, I know he's an actor.
Sure.
But he's also articulate.
Well, this is why I'm saying I feel like I missed out on this. I wish I watched this thing more carefully. I mean, I might have to go back and, you know, Anyway,
it'll always be there. It exists forever.
I know. Thank you, Internet. So he goes, well, it was too big to be. We've got two Yorkies. They're very small dogs. This was quite substantial. Your Honor, her asshole must be at least that big when produced. So he goes into such detail about this shit, but he won't call it a shit because, you know, if you say the word, you can imagine his lawyer saying to him, now, Johnny, for God's sake, the only thing we don't want you to do is get up there and say the word shit, because that's going to really ruin your case. You got to be smart about this, Johnny. We need you to say something else.
Just say turd.
Oh, I can't say turd. I'll say she dropped a grumpy. That's what he called it, a grumpy. Now, I've never heard that before in my life. That is so...
You know why he's called it that?
No.
Because she's done it before.
No.
And she went, oh, no, I made it grumpy.
No.
Yes.
Okay, well.
Think about it.
I am blown away by how exciting this is. And then he's busy reading text messages. And he talks about, oh, God, it's so good. He explains how she is like the woman he donated his semen to for a time. That's how he describes her. I'm like, you have to hate somebody. There is not a single girlfriend I've had that I would describe as someone I donated my semen to for a time. That is about as clinical as it gets. He is pissed off with her. Look, I mean, justifiably, and then there's this whole thing which he closed off with. You know, he pinched the turd at the end of his testimony by saying he plays
tapered the knick-knack.
Right, he plays a recording of her going, you go ahead, you tell them, Johnny. No one's going to believe a man. And you're hardly a man. Who's going to believe a man if he says he's been abused by a woman, you little pussy? What are you? And the judge says, what are you? And he looks at the judge and he goes, I am a man. And I thought, wow, he's worked this out. He's figured out the ways this can go. Nailed it. I don't care what happens. I've been entertained. This is yesterday. I didn't discover any of this before yesterday. I want to apologize to the audience. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't.
Welcome.
I wasn't doing my job as an entertainer to keep on top of these important things. And this is what I needed to share with you.
I've been both on the serving. I've been serving this shit before in my life.
Mm.
And I've been receiving this as well in my life before.
Wow. All right, go ahead. Tell us what happened. Explain this? Just explain what did you, someone took a shit in your bed or you took a shit in someone's bed or it's something
Let's
similar?
Just say it's got to the point, it had got to the point where.
Oh.
You must understand that these are two creative individuals. They're not just living a boring life where they wake up and all of a sudden, because they don't get a morning kiss while going out to work, that their lives have fallen apart.
Right.
It's not like, here's your lunch. Okay, right. Bye.
No, it's like, see you later. I'm going to shit in this person's bed.
Their lives are extremely, like, you know, creative and
yes,
beyond what we're used to.
Sure.
So when they fight, it's obviously blown right out of proportion, way beyond what we can think of. And I've been in this situation before where I've had a fight. Maybe I've faked some things in order to make things more creative or more...
Ooh.
Shocking.
Ooh, okay. You know, don't go into too much detail here. I don't want you to end up in a trial.
No, exactly.
But
let's just understand that these are not boring individuals. Even their fights they may have been fabricated to a certain point. But they're not going to be.
If he
didn't say good morning to me, and,
Leanne,
you know,
if
and
that
then
is,
I knew the day was wrong.
If that is what passes for creative today, then I'd rather not be creative. I'd rather be described as boring. I never. Please, dear Lord, If you hear me now, dear God, I haven't prayed on the air for a long time. Dear God, if I should ever have
a relationship. Did you have a Jesus moment before on air that got you into trouble?
Are you kidding?
Be careful.
We're still picking up the pieces from the last time I spoke to God on my show. Dear Lord, if I ever end up in a relationship where it goes so horribly wrong and I feel creative, don't let me shit in someone's bed or let someone shit in mine. Please do not let that happen.
No matter how intense. When it's bad, when your partner who has virtually no relationship with your family phones your family and says, please get this person under control.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, Baba.
Amber has as much creativity as a retarded cat. That's what Michael says. And Gary says, how creative must you be to shit in someone's bed? Beethoven was very creative. I read the most interesting...
I'll give a little hint. Maybe using beetroot juice to replace his blood in photographs.
Oh, come on.
People get creative.
All right, so...
They do.
Somebody said, with Beethoven being mentioned now, that apparently when Beethoven saw that Napoleon had crowned himself Emperor of France, because he was a big Napoleon fan before that, and they lived around the same time, he took his Third Symphony and he had a temper tantrum and he slashed at it with knives. So I'm kind of hearing your creative explanation here, but I also think, like, there's a line. You know, you fall out of love. Like, up here is in love, right? Up here is in love. Then here's
Gareth, when I'm sorry, I have to interrupt, because when it comes to love, there are no lines. When you fall that deeply, there are no lines.
That's horseshit. I can absolutely guarantee you, I will have gone long before this sort of drama starts to strike in my house. Long before.
Well, good. I'm so glad.
I'll be out of there.
That's why there are people like you.
And let me tell you something else. You raise your hand to me as a woman, we're done. And I'm not going to fight you because... You'll get one good hit in if you're lucky, because I'll be completely unsuspecting. You'll get one shot in.
What if she wasn't the first to raise the hand?
No, that won't be. No, it's that.
I hate to be hashtag.
No, won't happen. Because this Johnny Depp apparently took a beating from her quite regularly, so it won't happen. I'm not an aggressive guy. I get very mouthy.
Yeah.
And I will say things that I regret, but I'll never hit someone. I've never,
my mum always said about me, your mouth is your sword.
Right. And I've never even hit a man. And I know I could if I were put in a position where I had to, if it was to defend someone I loved. But if it was me, you get the one shot, right? And you better make it count, because after that, you're never going to see me again. And I mean, I hate to get serious after all of this entertainment, because this trial is just wacky. It is wacky. And I don't really care about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. I mean, they're both insane. They are.
No, I mean, the fact that this is being put, I put it to you, the fact that this is being put in front of a court of law.
It's just disgusting. The whole thing is just so embarrassing. I don't think anyone who had all this respect. I mean, I certainly thought Johnny Depp was this, he was this great, he still is a great actor, but I thought he was this superhuman Hollywood genius, you know, this guy who just had, he was imbued with such talent and ability, and he is.
He is kind of a genius, though.
Well, yes, but I've lost so much respect for him, not to mention Amber. I mean, I don't know if I ever had respect for her, but I did think she was hot. That hot crazy scale, by the way, that is a real thing.
It has a limit.
Yeah. So there are lots and lots of these things that just, it's blown my mind what's going on. The way people will behave with each other when they've broken up. And, you know, the funny thing is, like, you would never do that if you were rational. Because if you wanted someone to love you and to keep loving you, the last thing you would do is take a shit in their bed. I mean, from that point on, it's like, it's no longer about love. This is now about getting something back, you know?
Can you imagine what's going on in your mind? Let's say no one's watching. It never comes to the media.
Wow. To take a no shit one ever finds in someone's... Out. You know...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what's going on in your head at that stage? It's crazy.
That's certifiable. I mean, I've got to talk to Dr. Hanan about this when we have him on again. But she is... I mean, people talk
Monday's
about...
Monday's topic. What does it take to take a shit in someone's...
Yeah, yeah. How lunatic do you have to be? Like, how red flag are you? How red is that flag? It's just insane. I've got a friend and he's married, and the two of them,
oh, shame.
The two of them fight like cat and dog. No. They're mostly happy, but they fight like cat and dog, right? And when they fight, they say the most terrible things to each other. And I only obviously hear, you know, a little bit of it. I don't know what's actually going on.
Some couples thrive off that. Oof, shit,
they love it. They love the drama, right?
Yeah.
So I that's just not something I would want to fill my day with. You know, if I have an argument with someone at work, or if I have a disagreement with someone at work, forget an argument. Like, let's say we disagree about something and it leads to both of us not feeling great about each other for a little while. I have to sort that out immediately. I have to get it back to at least a point where we're normal, where we can get along, where we can move ahead. I'm not comfortable keeping like the shit flowing, if you'll pardon the pun with regard to the Johnny Depp story. I mean, I want it to be happy again. I want it to get better. I don't want it to get worse. Those people who like it to get worse, because there are those people, they get a thrill. They get a huge thrill out of making things worse.
It's not only a thrill. It's almost like the crime deserves the punishment.
Ooh.
It's like, how bad was the transgression?
Mm.
It needs a certain amount of time of sulking, madness, ignoring.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Right. Anyway, look, I mean, I am so sorry I missed out on how entertaining this trial was. And from now on, I promise
well,
you, I'll pay closer attention. Yeah, it's still going. But I mean, I think we've missed the best part.
Wow.
How do you top... the stuff we've heard in the last couple of... Heard.
Heard.
Oh, sorry. Heard. Amber Heard.
Oh, God.
Ah, that's what we needed to hear. We needed some lavatorial humor with Amber Heard. Amber Turd. I love it. All right. someone sent me a clip. Snai, who listens to the show, sent me a clip of what she thinks is what Michael Flax's aunt or mom would sound like if you bumped into them at the mall, right? I don't know, poor Markel Flax, but this is what Markel Flax. He was on the other day. You're not on Wednesdays, so you don't know this. But Michael Flax has been on the show a couple of times. I love that guy. He's such a good kid, and he's now. I mean, he's not a kid anymore. But he started with us. He was 22.
He'd be a man.
Yeah, yeah, he's in his 30s now, or approaching them at least. So this is a clip that Snai reckons is indicative. I love it because it's someone on, I think it's TikTok, and I'm still not persuaded to go to TikTok, but this is entertaining. So this is a guy who's doing an impersonation of what your primary school teacher bumping into you at the mall sounds like. Look at this.
Dad, you know, I never meet the dads. They just like disappear like Troy. But hi. Now I was his English teacher, Miss Van Rensburg. You have school now. You're such a big boy. You're almost as tall as Daddy. Oh my God, what school did you go to again? St. John. Oh, that's a good school. That's a good school. Now it's really a good school. Oh my God, hi. My goodness, this is your little sister. Hi.
All right, you get the basic idea, but I just love that. Snai emailed me that last night. That's good.
God, right? It reminds me of when I had just signed up with a dietitian.
Yeah.
And I bumped into her in Woolworths with a full trolley of shit.
That's got to be the most embarrassing thing. Now, you've just signed up with this dietitian. You're paying her money to give you all the right advice, and she catches you with sweets and chocolates.
Yeah. Look, it she was may like as well, a Friday.
She may as well have broken
into, starting on she, the Monday.
She may as well have broken into your house and have been standing there when you opened the fridge door and going.
She might as well have snuffed my panties, you know.
Jesus.
It was that intimate.
Oh, my God. Hey, speaking of which, there's a great story. You've got the story about this this couple. This guy proposed to a woman in McDonald's, which, again, even if you just did it at a nice little restaurant or a cafe on the side of the road or in a garden, it doesn't have to cost you money. But in McDonald's.
In Santa Nochal.
So this happened in Joburg.
So it's like, it's already like viral and stuff. It's really embarrassing.
I know which McDonald's. It's the one there at Grayston Drive, right?
It's actually the one in the Sandton Mall.
Oh. So it's pedestrian.
You can't even just run into your car and disappear.
Okay, what happened? Give me the lowdown.
And it's a really busy McDonald's as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been caught on video.
Oh, that's so embarrassing. All right, so what happened? Give us the whole story.
I mean, wasn't it just a few months ago when a proposal was caught on camera and then the fast food chain got involved?
Was it KFC or something? I can't remember.
It was made into a whole thing.
Mm.
Who knows? But a Twitter user called Madame_Fossette posted this, and it's now gone viral, doll.
Right.
But they were actually in the McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
He's photographed and videoed putting out this like gray box, a little gray box.
Yeah.
And there's no audio, but you see him doing this, and then the woman's like a bit taken aback.
Right.
And then does the worst thing that you'd imagine that is totally un-Disney, but she shakes her head.
Oh, shit.
Says a few, like, obviously choice words to her partner.
Yeah.
And then she completely just walks away. And he is left there standing with the box, with the shopping trolley, and with a little boy who's, probably theirs.
Oh, no.
Standing with them as well.
All right, but
I'm sorry.
It's horrible, and I also want to laugh, but this poor guy, Sulungelo, says, is there a need to do it in front of a crowd? That was going to be another KFC couple situation. I think that's where this guy must have got the idea. Because that one went well, right? I can't remember.
Well, but also, I mean, when you're proposing to someone, there's a lot at the top of your mind.
Right. So, Leanne, I've got a surprise.
That's a big ring.
No, don't worry. It's just books. It's just a bunch of books. Sorry. There's Mike Sharman's.
If ever I had to marry you, it would be for your mind, not for the size of your ring. So,
the size of my
I'll
ring.
Accept that.
The size of my ring. I'll tell you, Amber Heard. Amber, you would know if it was me or Amber Heard who made a turd. That's really romantic. That's about as romantic as I'm ever going to get right now. Unpacking a box of books.
I reckon that this guy wasn't even thinking about the cameras. He was just going about his day-to-day life, and he thought, I mean, for some people, understand, going to McDonald's, like actually going to McDonald's, is a special thing. When last did you actually go to a McDonald's as opposed to just driving through one? Maybe it was a special time.
I don't think I've ever gone to a McDonald's, and I'm not being a snob. I've eaten McDonald's.
I went to one overseas. When it first came out.
No, come on. Even when it just opened up, I've never been to Burger King. Are you kidding?
It's a meme. It's a meme moment, but I have to tell you, I was in London, and I was in the St. James area.
Yeah.
When I was working on the stock exchange, in the day of papers and you know, a floor full of papers up to your knees. And I took a lunch break and went to the St. James area and went to a McDonald's for the first time in my life and ordered a burger. And I was embarrassed because it was called a quarter pounder. And I was like, firstly, I don't know what pounds are and probably not quarters.
Yeah.
But just, you know, that's
well, in England, you might be persuaded to imagine that a quarter pounder would cost you, what, 25p?
Yeah, exactly. And they gave me this burger and I sat down in a little corner with my briefcase and my business suit, opened this thing up.
Yeah.
And it smelled like shit. It smelled like Amber Turd's shit.
Oh, so this is not a product placement from McDonald's, by the way. If McDonald's were paying for this show, they'd be thrilled at what you've just said. Going so well.
Yeah. No, I hope that they're not appearing in the next slot.
isn't the quarter pounder exactly what was featured in when Samuel L. Jackson does the? It's called a Royale with cheese. In fact, yeah, Congo Chris says that now.
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction. You called a Royale with cheese. I called a quarter pounder. I think it was it. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But you didn't.
I opened this thing up and it stank. I went back up to the counter and said, hello.
There's something wrong.
Hi. Something. I don't think that this burger's okay. There's something wrong with it. So they just took another one off of the Tetris of burgers and gave me another one.
And it smelled the same.
It smelled the same. Yeah. I've never eaten a. And then when it came to South Africa, I realized it smelled exactly the same. So I've never eaten a beef McDonald's before.
I go for their mush
and chicken.
I'll tell you something. You've got to admire the consistency. If you can get a recipe, and I'm not a huge fan. I've eaten, like I said, I've eaten it before. I always feel a little bit guilty after I've eaten McDonald's or KFC. Those are not my favorite two fast food outlets. But when I've had them, and you can't help it, sometimes you're like, that's what I'm really craving. But you never feel good afterwards. You never, if you interview, it's almost like if you've had sex with someone very ugly. You interview someone straight afterwards, because before they're like, yeah, I'm horny enough, I'll do this, I'm ready to do this, I'm going for it, you know, and you look at that person afterwards and you go, I feel so shitty about myself.
Oh no, Gareth,
so embarrassed. Please. No, really, and you feel the same way about
eating. No, shame on you.
No, it's true. It's called post-coital depression. And you get it when you've had sex with someone who you really shouldn't have, and they really
It either sounds like a drug or, yeah, it sounds like something that you'd lace a girl's drink with, PCD.
Yeah, well, it's funny because that's the opposite of what happens. It's almost like they've laced your drink because you're like, why would I take you home? Anyway, so after that, you feel the same way as after a McDonald's burger. I always feel, this is going to be so nice. And then I eat it, and usually it's in the car, which is even more disgusting. And then you look at the wrapping sitting on the passenger seat. And you look at your hands, which are all greasy, and now you're driving and you're putting the grease on the steering wheel. And, and you think
the worst is driving past beggars.
And you've got that feeling. No, hang on. You get that feeling of like, I've just eaten something that's really awful for me. And I don't feel good. I feel heavy. I feel like my body is saying, oh, why are you doing this to me? Didn't you do exercise today? You've just canceled that out, you stupid son of a bitch. It's the same feeling. And their chips
are made in oil of guilt.
I can't stand that feeling. So I won't do it. But to propose, now after all of this, we've laid the groundwork. After all this, you propose to someone in there in front of a crowd of people and you wonder why your life is going horribly wrong. Someone said in the comments just now, and I completely agree, some people have been led to believe that their life is a movie. It's really not. And if it is, if you think it's a movie, it's a shockingly bad movie. It's the kind of movie that people get up and leave the cinema. And that's what this girl did to that guy at McDonald's. Now, I can't feel sorry for him. I'm sorry. You made your bed, lie in it. That's you created this trouble.
It's almost like telling kids all around the world at the same time that Father Christmas doesn't exist. But life isn't romantic. It's just not.
No, it's not.
And, you might as well. It's a proposal.
This is Disney's fault.
I would better accept a proposal if it was overeating Weet-Bix in the morning and saying, what are your plans for today? Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I think we should get married. Oh, okay. That's a pretty good idea considering our finances and our situation. I'd better accept that.
I was listening to somebody the other day who was telling me about the proposal that that he and his wife and he said it was so unromantic. It was like they were driving somewhere, and he's like, "Yeah, maybe we should just get married." And she was like, "Yeah, that's a good idea." And that was their proposal situation. It wasn't romantic at all. But they're still married, and they will be for a long time because they're very sensible people. They're not. They're not hooked on some romantic vision of what things are. Congo Chris says, post-nut regret. We've all had a one-night stand like that. Gareth is 100% correct. Thank you. I should hope so. Oh, Robin Robin says,
if I had to count them.
Robin says, I've never eaten McDonald's nor had sex with an ugly man. Robin, you've never had sex with a man. Just stop talking nonsense. Sanetta says, post-fraternizing with a grenade syndrome, otherwise known as the walk of shame. Yeah, that's also true. The walk of shame is related to this discussion. For all the people that say they don't like McDonald's and KFC, the best franchises, I love both. Okay, well, listen, I'm not telling you should go and eat or don't eat it. You do whatever you want. I've done it, and I'm telling you how I feel afterwards. Some things in your life you're just not proud of, and I include all of these in that same category.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, look, let's take a look at one or two headlines quickly because we do want to get to some of those. We've got an awesome couple of things coming up for you this morning. So let me give you a quick preview so that you can get yourself ready for this. We're going to do a couple of headlines. Then I want to tell you about this BMW interview. Remember I mentioned the other day I was with Dr. Musa, who's a TV personality and a doctor, but he's also very into cars. He's a proper petrol head. And Francisco Nwamba, who is a motoring journalist. And the two of them are the best people to tell you about this new BMW iX, which I can't tell you about. They will have to. And I've recorded an interview with them. I went to BMW's beautiful showroom in Sandton, and we had two of these cars parked right there. So you'll see them in the background while I'm talking to these gents. And they will give you the lowdown on these amazing cars. And I want you to see it all for yourself, which is why we recorded a video. So that's coming up in just a few minutes. We've also got Riyad Musa joining us later on. He's always fantastic. He's got a brand new show on, but we want to catch up with him and find out what he's been up to. Because the last time we had him on, it was with Joey Razdeen, and the two of them were, they turned almost into a therapy session for Joey. I felt kind of bad because it was like me and you and Riyad, and then we were all listening to Joey pouring his heart out. So I thought,
because Joey went through some serious shit during the downtime.
He had a very, very unhappy couple of years. So I'm glad that we did it, but I did feel bad because we brought Riyad on and he just became like a therapist. So we're going to have Riyad on again today, and this time to just shoot the breeze and talk some shit. So we've got him coming up. Stick around for that and a whole lot more. Plus, I got a really interesting email from Joanne, which I want to share with you just now. Joanne, who listens to us.
Joanne.
So she's got some things to tell us. All right. So headlines. Let's just quickly glance at these.
Yeah, we need to know what's going on.
The Antwerp secret artist spoke out after the abuse. Listen, I still don't know how this story works, but the Antwerp secret artist Ben J. Crossman has told News 24 he regrets not speaking out earlier about witnessing child abuse and exploitation by Ninja and Yolandi. Crossman recorded the video of their foster son, Gabriel Toki Dupria.
I am your butterfly.
Speaking out after 12 years of abuse and neglect at the hands of the international music stars. So this seems like a real story. This is not part of the act. This is a real thing.
Is this not labeled as press release _2?
No.
In their marketing managers'
No. This looks like it's a real thing. And trust me, if you're starting to, if you're putting out nonsense about child abuse and you think that that's going to land well with people, I think you have got a very bad barometer for what the market wants. I've never ever met anyone who's gone, oh, I'm really into that band because of their child abuse. And I don't think anyone in the world thinks that way, unless you're a total psychopath. So it looks like that's a real thing. Obviously, more details will emerge, but this is not looking good for the Antwoord at the moment, and they'll obviously be asking the band some questions because there seems to be a trail of abuse in the wake of that. And you know,
have you ever? I'm just imagining the interview caught on camera. Have you ever heard them speak out of character?
No, but they're going to have to for this. This is serious. There are legal there are legal consequences, and I'm really, you know, they always say that they're these brilliant and creative people, and the Antwoord's one of those things that we, as South Africans, for a while, it was one of the things people knew about South Africa, right? They're like, oh, the Antwoord, I love those guys, you know, all over the world, and it turns out they're freaks. It's upsetting.
Yeah.
Transport Minister Fikile Mbalula says there will be no further extensions for driver's license renewals. He says efforts will be made to help motorists get their licenses done on time. Over a million expired licenses have yet to be renewed. The backlog was caused in part by the hard lockdown and problems with the license printing machine. But he says no more. So you got to get that license sorted out ASAP.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It's getting very serious, Fikile. Apparently, according to a psychologist in the Johnny Depp trial, now you can see I'm all into this, right? This psychologist testified that Amber Heard suffers from twin personality disorders. Shannon Curry, a clinical and forensic psychologist, said she had examined Heard's mental health records and personally evaluated her for 12 hours over 2 days in December 2021, so last year. It was her opinion that the 36-year-old actress, who had a starring role in the movie Aquaman, has borderline personality disorder and histrionic personality disorder. She obtained scores.
Geez, I'm sure there's a lot going on there.
Well, I mean, listen, if you get away with these two personality disorders, I think you're getting off lightly, as Amber Heard. She says her scores were consistent with these diagnoses. Lawyers for Heard sought to discredit Curry's testimony during cross-examination, noting that she had been hired by Depp's attorneys to testify on his behalf. So what? She's still got work that she can prove here. If you didn't find something that would be in favor of Mr. Depp and negative to Ms. Heard, you wouldn't be an expert in this case, said an attorney for Heard. I present science regardless of what the science may be, Curry responded. Curry said some of the primary characteristics of borderline personality disorder include a lot of inner anger and hostility and a tendency to be self-righteous with fluctuating moods. Well, that describes a lot of people. They can react violently. They can react physically. Oftentimes, they will be abusive to their partners. Curry, who has experience with U.S. combat veterans, said it was her opinion that Heard did not suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. Heard grossly exaggerated her symptoms of PTSD in a test she was given. It's just unbelievable.
Sure.
It's so, this just trials, just, you've got to watch it. If you have nothing to do this weekend, and it's a long weekend, watch this stuff.
It's amazing. But again, it can be relatable.
Maybe to
you. If you do relate, maybe. What I'm saying is if you do relate, don't feel bad.
Maybe to you, you crackpot. Apparently, this is amazing. Johannesburg hasn't had any working speed cameras for more than a year. Yes.
What?
Yeah. None of the speed cameras in Joburg have been working for over a year.
Oh, that explains things.
Apparently, since 31 May 2021, the Joburg Metro Police Department...
No, actually, that pisses me off because I I'm a conformist.
No, you are. So you've been slowing down for nothing.
Yes. No, it's not slowing down. I've been driving at maximum 60 in residential areas.
Apparently, the tender to repair or supply speed cameras in the city closed earlier this month, and they're hoping to have the issue resolved by the end of June. But in the meantime, the city has lost millions in revenue and will continue to do so. Oh, please. This is so ridiculous. It's so typical, though. I mean, the Metro Police are just, they're such bozos. And this is another.
I actually bust an ex cheating because a letter landed in my post.
Yeah.
And I opened it and it was a speed camera thingy. And I recognized the background of where he was. And I looked up the date.
Oh, and you saw that was when he told you he was at work.
It's a hashtag Amber Heard story for another time.
Jesus. Let me just finish off with this, another stupid thing.
Please do.
So I say this is stupid because Samsung have had to apologize for an ad which shows a woman getting up at 2 a.m. to go for a run through the streets of a city alone. Now, what?
Why? Well,
it's been criticized by some women's running groups and safety campaigners for being unrealistic.
I'm finished.
You want to sit these people down and say to them, do you know what advertising is? You know when they say that cough mixture will help you get over a cough? You know that that is unrealistic too, because some people have tuberculosis and they might think that the cough medicine will help them. That is advertising, you morons. You know, here's the problem, is if these corporations just had some balls, they would stand up to them and say, it's an advert, you children. Who told you that everything that you see has to be true? Haven't you realized it's not? Do you watch TV?
I can't.
So anyway, the Night Owls campaign was designed with a positive message in mind to celebrate individuality and freedom to exercise at all hours. Women's safety group Reclaim Them Streets, that's what they're called, has described it as tone deaf in the light of the death of Aisling Murphy. He was killed on a run in
January. Would we have known about this group until they spoke out?
Nah. Anyway, so apparently now, or just so every, of course, there were women who were now blissfully unaware that they should be waking up at 2 a.m. But thank God for Samsung and this ad, because now they're going to be up at 2 a.m. running through the most dangerous parts of Joburg. Good move.
Hordes, like headline, hordes of women.
Yeah, suddenly
waking up
taking to the road at 2 a.m. because of Samsung. Idiots. You know, these are the people we live among. There's a group of women who got together in London. This is in England. And they were like, well, we've got to stop this. We've got to get this.
Can you imagine being on their WhatsApp group?
Or on their mailing list. Gee, there must be. Well, imagine now after they've got Samsung to apologize. Ah, we won. Ladies, congratulations. This is another victory for women runners everywhere.
We the best.
We the best. Not we're. We. Stupid, stupid, stupid people.
We won again.
Yeah. Good for us. Yay, girls. Let's have Chardonnay on Friday to celebrate.
Right.
Anyway. All right, listen. I got to
run a mile in our shoes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Exploding with, you know, white. Oh, God.
What? Finish that thought. That sounded like Amber Heard stuff. All right, so I've got to take your attention away from the stupid and return you to the stuff that matters. Now, you know, we did an interview a little while ago with Francisco Nwamba and Dr. Musa. I told you about this. I'm going to play it for you today on the show. It's about 12 minutes long, and I want you to hear two smart people who know a lot more about cars than I do, and especially about electric cars. It's always best to do these things on a Friday because we've got George on, and he's on later on today, so it all kind of fits in with the flow. And I spoke about the iX in a way that, you know, an amateur, a person who loves cars but doesn't know a lot about them would. These guys can give you a lot more information. It's a fully electric vehicle. It's got a 600-kilometer range. It's got crystal buttons, a self-healing grille, panoramic roof, and so much more. We also shot an awesome reveal video with Dr. Musa and Francisco, where we really show off the car and its features. And we want you to go and take a look at that on our YouTube channel. That's coming soon. But before we get to any of that, let me show you the actual video. This is very, very cool. And hopefully we'll give you a little insight into this tremendous car. We'll be back with a whole lot more. So don't go anywhere. Watch this and then stick around, because we've got a whole lot more coming for you, including Riyad Musa.
CliffCentral.com.
Well, as you know, we've been doing some really interesting stuff with BMW. I've spoken to the CEO, who's an amazing man. We've spoken to people here in South Africa involved, especially in electric vehicles. And today I have what do I call you guys? Car nuts. I heard you talking earlier.
You could also say sexy guys.
I could also call you brilliant and all of those
things.
We'll get to that. But really the point of having you on this show is to talk about this particular car, this magnificent beast behind us, which you two know a whole lot more about than most people. So we'll start. First of all, Francisco, we've done a series already together, and it's been an incredible journey, and also finding out about the future of electric vehicles where everything in transport is going, how innovation is just running apace and making everything that we thought we knew feel old the day after we knew it.
It's literally a time where we're living in the future. It feels like, you know, we're finally at that point now where we thought, like, we're going to get to this Jetsons era. And we're finally there with the technology that's out there with these vehicles. It's phenomenal.
Well, Francisco, in case you don't know, and maybe you've only heard him on one or two series that we've done, but Francisco Mwamba is, of course, a respected and knowledgeable automotive journalist. He's also someone who's an entrepreneur in his own right. And our other guest is Dr. Musa, who, I mean, how do you combine the role of being a medical doctor with being a car enthusiast like you are?
I do, but it's also difficult because there's so many other things that one wants to do, you know. We're sitting chatting about this before this, that, you know, you find guys that enjoy cars, but you and I could chat about, you know, shoes because you like shoes.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many little pockets that you drop yourself into, but it's just love at the end of the day. It's the stuff that we all love.
Well, I don't know if you two knew each other before this.
No,
we did not, but it feels like we've known each other for a long time now.
You had to see them to believe it. It was like two brothers had discovered that they were related after thinking, you know, nothing
about
each other.
Maybe.
Naughty fathers.
Yeah, you never know. All right, so just tell us about where this all started for you.
So this all started for me when I... You know, there's that brand that we all know about that has the electric vehicles. And the moment they brought out that vehicle, the first thing, and I had a list of vehicles that I wanted next, I was like, oh, let's move this one up. And I want this specific model coming in next. But South Africa being South Africa and things taking the time that they have, you sit and you wait and you sit and you wait. And then, you know, i3s are launched and i8s are launched. Mm-hmm. And that excitement kind of comes up. You're like, oh, okay. And then you have
to give props for BMW for being as fast as have been.
They have. So even before that, for me, was there's a hybrid, but I'm going to wait a bit because the range is not that great. And then out of the blue, I kid you not, someone says, oh, cool. Yeah, no, they've got 630 kilometer ranges now. I was like, okay, now I'm interested. Tell me more. Mm-hmm. And then I found out about this iX and I've been in love ever since.
Well, I mean, this iX, you've been driving it too, right?
Yeah.
What's that like?
It is a completely different experience. So I think if you're a car guy like us, you're used to the foot down, that comes with it. And this is different because you've got the same sort of, whiplash feel that you get when you put your foot down in a petrol vehicle. But this is all electric and no one hears anything. But you're moving at such a pace. It's so cost effective as well when it comes to not having to go to the garage. And absolute silence every time.
I mean, this time you can actually... You can hear, it almost is like you've got super senses.
Yes.
Because you're not drowned out by the sound of your car. You don't have to turn whatever you're listening to, podcasts, music, you don't have to turn it up to like 1,000 decibels to be able to hear what's going on. Exactly. And you can hear what's going on outside the car. So it's probably safer as well, right?
Yeah, very much. Mm. And you know, it's a weird thing. It's a bit eerie in the beginning because when you jump into the vehicle, you start it.
I didn't even know. I tried to turn it on just now and I wasn't sure whether I'd turn
exactly.
it on.
Yeah. Exactly that. So, I mean, the technology behind it, it's quite interesting how the fact that it's silent kind of plays with your head because Dr. Musa said something quite interesting about just how it delivers its power because an electric car, obviously, has got instant torque.
Sure.
So you have to prepare your mind because if you put your foot down, all of that power is absolutely instant.
So, it's available to you right there and then.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And at the same time, you know, you've got your energy brake recuperation. So when you're off the power, then you're still saving and actually building up power for you to keep going.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yes,
oh, jeez. I was wondering what happened. I was like, why is this car braking itself?
Yes.
That's what I kept thinking the whole time. I was like, hey, accelerate, stop braking. But now I get what's happening because it's charging and then I'd find myself with more range all of a sudden.
Exactly.
You see, this is... I knew we'd end up talking about the car, but I actually wanted to ask you both where your love for cars came from before we even get into this particular monster.
I think for me, it's just been a guy that grew up in the township. You grow up, you see the latest something or the other that comes from the family down the road that have bought themselves a new BMW, and you're just like, oh, the one day when I grow up. And then in your mind, you start forming...
BMW has in South Africa probably more
brand clout than almost anything else, right?
Totally, 100%.
I mean, especially if you grew up in the townships, you know BMW. It's right up there on the top of the pyramid when you look at it.
Right up there. Yeah. I mean, I think for me, it was my parents, when I was much younger, they bought themselves a 5 Series, and I was like, whoa, must be nice. And then from there, seeing an E30, for instance, so the old 3 Series, I recently just got one myself, and I built one from the scratch and all those sort of things. So it's just a love that comes with desire initially and becomes a love for vehicles. And then that obviously then spreads over into other brands and the cool things that they may have as well.
What about you, Francisco?
So my journey is a weird one. I was a kid that would just sit and draw. I'd draw all sorts of things. And I've got an older brother, and he literally said to me, "Stop drawing, come watch Top Gear." So from there, I just thought, let me watch Top Gear, but I'll still draw, and I'll just draw cars. So I just started drawing cars. And just from there, literally, I've always wanted to be involved in that space. Always loved vehicles, but not just for the fact that they, you know, take you from A to B, but just how they make you feel. And speaking about BMW, same thing with myself. You know, we grew up in Soweto, and as a result of that, that is BMW haven. So as a result, you know, when you grow up, it's kind of one of those things that you have to tick that box and say, I drive a BMW. So for me, it started from a very early age, but family has always loved BMWs and at the same time, all types of vehicles. So definitely something from an early age.
So getting into this thing, I mean, you can't but notice the Swarovski crystal on the center console there. You got it on the doors. I mean, it does feel like all these cars that are trying to come up with something new, none of them has thought of anything like this before. This is entirely, it's almost like getting in a spaceship.
It does. It feels like you're walking into Diamond Walk, you know? You take a step into it and you're like, oh, what's this fancy thing? What's going on here? Because you've got that sleek curved screen that's in there. You've got these sort of crystal looking things on the knob as well as on the door. You try to open a door and you have to press a button to step.
I know the door. I was standing there like an idiot trying for like,
how do I do this?
2 minutes. I was like, how do I do this? And then I realized you actually have to. Yeah. By the way, closing the door is a whole other thing.
Yes.
Because you don't slam it like you do.
It's very graceful.
All these terrible vehicles the rest of us are driving. When you have one of these, you just kind of push and then it seals itself.
It's one thing we've spoken about quite a lot. It's an issue of opulence.
Yes.
Gareth, you know, if you live an opulent life with opulent lifestyles.
It's like those people, have you been into those kitchens with those people where they go, and this whole like thing, coffee machine thing comes up, feels like that. Exactly. Only obviously because this is a moving vehicle, that much more impressive.
Definitely.
And it's still a sustainable vehicle because even though it looks the way it does, it's very fancy, it still loves the environment. I mean, you've got vegan leather, which is quite an interesting
What does that
thing.
Even mean? Like, I mean, I kind of get it, but I mean,
it means you're not going to get the greens upset.
Oh, okay.
Those people.
They're not going to throw paint at my car.
They're not going to be like painting your car with like tins of paint and like, screaming about how you're killing the environment. Lovely. They're going to be happy with you.
Okay, good.
That's interesting. I didn't even know that about it. So what's your favorite thing about the car?
One of my favorite features in the car is the full panel that is transparent but becomes like opacified and dark when you want it to. So you press a button and it kind of covers up, and that's because, you know, when the sun's up in the middle of the day, you don't want the sun hitting your face. So you press a button and it goes twing, and then it just gets dark. It's
that's beautiful. Amazing.
Yeah,
that's like sci-fi.
Very much
it is.
So.
It really is.
What's your favorite thing?
I'd say the front end. And it's interesting because that front end was very controversial. Everybody was like, this is something that we've never seen before.
To step away from
but
everything
the self-healing
else,
element of it is what blows my mind the most. And I actually had to find out if I'm not being caught up in an April Fool's joke or something. But a self-healing grill has got to be one of the craziest things I've actually encountered in a vehicle. So stone chips, all sorts of things like that, it's not going to really matter as long as after 24 hours you leave the car out in normal room temperature or you apply heat on it, the next day your stone chip is gone.
Unbelievable.
Sounds crazy. It feels like, you know, when with the other vehicles that are coming from BMW that change colors, you're like, how? Like, what? What?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Witchcraft.
Yeah. Well, Buloy. I would have gone there, yes.
Wow. Okay, so electric vehicles in general, we're all very excited about these. It's inevitably going to be the future. It's also, considering petrol prices these days, something everybody's much more excited about than they should be.
Yes.
Because electric vehicles are obviously the way for us to be able to move forward without having to have all these fossil fuels, without having to have the exorbitant cost of petrol. And the world economy will change as a result of this.
Very much so. I mean, electric vehicles now, especially in South Africa, we've just seen a resurgence of, you You know, it started off with BMW. They were actually the early adopters. Early on, they came out with these cars. And now we can see that there's a big shift happening. And consumers are starting to understand now what's going on. I mean, you go to major malls now. There's charging stations. It's becoming more accessible. So definitely in the next 10 to 15 years, we're going to see many more electric vehicles in our market.
I think it's very exciting. The fact that, you know, when things start to happen, other people start to adapt. So not other car brands, let's leave those alone. But the fact that when you know that you've got electric vehicles, it puts pressure on policymakers to say, cool, we can't charge so much in terms of import taxes on these expensive electric vehicles. So it moves the price of an electric vehicle.
We're talking to you, governments.
There we go. I don't want to say that, but yes. To get the pricing right? Because you want people to stay away from fossil fuels and all these conventions that exist in the world, to rather go buy an electric vehicle.
But also, you guys know this, and I mean, I'm not as much of a motorhead as you guys are, but it was always uncool. The hybrids were okay. They were all right. People were like, oh, I'm trying to show that I'm moving into the future. But they weren't. Now this is a step in a completely foreign direction from where we were when people like electric cars. I don't know. Is that like those little things that they ride around, those golf carts that they ride around shopping malls?
Exactly that. And one of the major things is the power figures, because people think electric, they don't think performance, but they don't actually realize that these cars, there's no such thing as a slow electric car. They're all very fast. So the petrol heads who are resisting the change have now started to embrace the change because they know that these cars are actually faster than any of their normal petrol cars.
The other thing about it is that they're also just sexier cars.
I'm into the aesthetics. I don't know about torque and, you know, 0 to 100 in how many seconds. I don't know anything about that stuff. You guys, that's your area of expertise. But the attractiveness of it, the way it looks, the way it feels when you're driving it, that's what I'm all about.
That's it. Very, very sexy cars that everyone can go, ooh, what is this one called? Because it looks so new, so sexy, and isn't the standard old, ugly-looking electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And that is true, because old electric cars weren't the prettiest. But these cars look like something we've never seen before. Yeah. It really does, you know, draw so much attention. You actually have to get used to that on the road.
Sure.
Because when I was driving, I thought to myself,
And you mentioned the front of this car, but those lights at the back.
Yeah. Very sleek. It's like little small LEDs, soft lighting. Again, opulent, as we said.
Opulence.
I like that word.
Opulence.
Well, I mean, this is what we wanted you guys to essentially do, is to help the rest of us who are not as well informed and not as into the knowledge as you are, and the experience, obviously, because we're not all going to get the chance to drive this straight away. So as it comes into the market, as we start to learn about it, we need people who we can trust telling us about it. And I appreciate you both giving us some time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Awesome stuff. Thank you. CliffCentral.com.